Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. So this video is about the end of most Russian oil and gas shipments to the European Union. So this has been going on really since the beginning of the Ukraine war, not far off 3 years ago. Now, even at the height of the Cold War, the Soviet Union, of which Russia is the principal successor state, sold significant quantities of oil and gas to Western European countries. Remember, the European Economic Community was only founded in 1957, morphed into the European Union in 1993, expanded from six countries, is now 27, some of them even erstwhile Soviet republics, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. The 1970s, the oil crisis, after the Arab defeat in the Yom Kippur War, the Gulf Arab countries were fed up of Western countries like the United States, Canada, France, the United Kingdom, West Germany, selling arms to the Israelis, so they cut production for a few months. Oil prices quadrupled. Now, that was a bonanza for the Soviet Union, which had major oil fields in Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Azerbaijan, Russia itself, to a small extent in Ukraine. So a major exports. And that was the best time of the Soviet Union. Zenith was the late 70s. They were flush with cash. A lot of things got built. Goods were relatively plentiful. They had healthy economic growth. There was stagflation in the West. But anyway, when those oil prices came down in the 80s, the economy tanked, and that led ineluctably to the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Now, Putin took over in 99 as oil prices were going up, went really high about 2008, some wobbles with the credit crunch around 2010. But, you know, fairly good oil and gas prices. Another major decision that was made, when was it? In 2010 in Germany by Angela Merkel, the then chancellor, was to close down all nuclear energy, which meant they needed a lot more gas, in particular purchasing the Russian Federation. Relations were at the height of cordiality between the German Federal Republic and the Russian Federation. Remember, Angela Merkel had grown up in Soviet occupied East Germany, a fluent speaker of Russian, had a good rapport with Putin. She's a former member of the Free German Youth, really the unfree German youth, the communist youth wing. But you can't blame her for growing up in a totalitarian society. Actually, she's a right winger, so a good person. Nord Stream pipeline was built under the Baltic Sea, supply coming to shore in Germany at Greifswald, supplying Germany and indeed other European Union countries. Slovakia and Hungary heavily dependent on Russian oil and gas. Bulgaria likewise. Moldova, former Soviet Republic, likewise. There's the Druzhba pipeline, goes to Belarus to put Poland, ironically named Friendship, selling oil and gas. So much of the Russian economy, something 60% was based on export of hydrocarbons, oil, gas, and coal. So they sort of put all their eggs in one basket. They could have used that money, like the United Arab Emirates have done, Qatar has done, to diversify their economy, develop financial services, tourism, airlines, medical tourism, universities foreign students want to study at, and build up agriculture. They've got very cheap energy. That's good for manufacturing as well, but they haven't done it. They've wasted it on all these wars, on being a surveillance state and oppressing their own people. Sanctions have hurt them as well. The low-hanging fruit's largely been picked. The oil and gas fields of a plentiful supply are often in the less accessible places, expensive technology, foreign expertise, and so they're finding it increasingly difficult. Now, they've easily got a century worth of oil and gas left to go, but are we going to go beyond oil and gas? So one of the reasons Putin thought the Western countries wouldn't seriously support Ukraine is they needed that oil and gas. They had these energy-thirsty economies, and you know, you can stop buying Russian oil and gas totally fine, but there's a limited supply, you know, laws of supply and demand. And so the price is only going to go one way. And so the other producers, like in Canada, the USA, Qatar, wherever, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, they're going to buy way more, plus unwilling to purchase it from Iran. Anyway, so some of the oil and gas was transiting Ukraine, going on to Western European countries, despite the war, perhaps unbelievably. And Ukraine still received transit fees from Russia. But Russia made way more profit than Ukraine, you see, in transit fees. So European countries, EU countries, non-EU countries like the United Kingdom, for example, have largely transitioned away from Russian oil and gas, been quite successful purchasing other places. Is very good news for the United States, a major oil and gas exporter. Anybody else is going to produce oil and gas. A lot depends on OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Companies, what they do with production. They could cut production to send this prices spiraling upwards. They could increase production, reduce the prices, but why would they want to do that? They make less profit. How amenable are they to stick and carrot from Western countries? Less than they were before. Pursue quite an independent line. They're very unhappy with the Western world for supporting Israel over various things. And, you know, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Saudi Arabia pursue a genuinely independent line on this to maximize national advantage, where you can scarcely blame them. So President Zelensky said that all this money is giving billions to Russia, which is financing their war. It's true. So Poland has hailed the cutoff of this gas pipeline going through Ukraine, saying it's a victory against Russia. So the European Union has transitioned for this, is prepared for this. There's still TurkStream, a pipeline from Russia through Turkey, eventually to Serbia and Hungary, selling gas, but there's obviously a limited capacity. There's only so many billion cubic meters you can send that way. So as of New Year's Day, all the Gazprom, as in gas production pipelines through Ukraine onto Western Europe, were over. Okay, they've been going that way since 1991. Russia's still got its dark fleet of tankers, switching off the transponders so they can't be tracked. Other ships can't see them so easily in navigation. They could crash into each other. There was two Russian oil tankers collided in the Black Sea, a big oil spillage there. Surprisingly, there'll not be more disasters. Often they can't get insurance. You know, sanctioning countries control something like 90% of the insurance markets. So innocent passage, you're allowed to sail through territorial waters if you're a merchant ship. But the local government is allowed to stop and inspect your insurance documents. And obviously, a sanctioning country should be way more proactive. You don't have proper insurance, any insurance. If there's a leakage of oil and gas, or if there's some sort of disaster, an explosion, there's a lot of money needs to be paid in compensation to clear this up, and you don't have insurers are going to do that. You're not allowed through our territorial waters. Should be much more proactive in doing that. But Russia's been surprisingly successful in evading these sanctions, and that is crucial in sustaining their war effort. You know, their economy has shrunk anyway. It shrunk a lot faster if they couldn't export any more oil and gas. But that's more expensive for European Union countries. Now, the EU has been lucky with two relatively mild winters. Russia made it economically painful for the European Union, but it didn't break the European Union, didn't come close, actually. But partly there are exemptions from places like Slovakia and Hungary, which were heavily reliant on Russian energy. And those are over now, but that's quite unpopular. Well, Robert Fico went to Moscow. He's trying to see, can he secure more oil and gas from Russia? And other countries saying, well, Slovakia and Hungary, they had an exemption. Why not us? And so on. We should do what's best for our people and not care about Ukraine so much. So it's going to cost people. Russia was making about 5 billion euros a year from selling oil via Ukraine. And Ukraine received only a few hundred million euros. So before the war, about 40% of the gas supplied to the European Union was from Russia. It is now thought to be about 8%. Austria has almost none now. Slovakia's got a little bit. So I'm not sure how they're allowed to do this. But he says, Robert Fico, the Prime Minister of Slovakia, says it's terrible for the European Union. It's not really hurting Moscow. I remember he visited a few days ago, and he said that, you know, if the oil and gas, if the gas supply via Ukraine isn't restored, he might cut off electricity to Ukraine, and the Ukrainians desperately need it, because Russia's pursued this strategy for years, trying to destroy the Ukrainian electric grid. Now, Ukraine is increasingly connected to the European electric grid. I don't know anything about electric networks, but apparently it's also to do with substations, not just production. And you can repair them, but can you repair them fast enough to undo the damage where it's cut off in the bleak midwinter? That can kill you, because it's so cold, it can be minus 20, particularly for an infant, an elderly person, cut off electricity to hospitals and things like that. So there are more oil and gas terminals have to be set up. There are more of them now created in Germany, Croatia and Poland and things like that. So the oil price cap has only been semi-successful. So yeah, there was the Brotherhood pipeline, there was the Yamal Europe pipeline through Belarus onto Poland and so on. The TurkStream pipeline. So goodness. But when the war ends, Russia won't automatically get all this market back. They'd like to, but countries say, we don't want to be over a barrel. I mean, one of the deals could be, okay, but you have to pay some sort of tax, and a lot of that money is going to go to reconstruction for Ukraine. So it's going to be difficult, because this is going to be a fairly cold winter, and we've got like almost 3 months to go. I don't think we'd have to break the European Union, be another incentive for peace. It's hurting Russia too. You know, since the beginning of the war, they've lost tens of billions of euros of potential earnings of oil and gas exports to the European Union. Okay, they can increase exports to India and China and so forth, but they have to sell well below market price. And moreover, there's only a limited capacity to ship it in terms of pipelines, in terms of oil tankers and so on. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe to Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. No, Europe is struggling because of Putin. Okay, Putin launched this illegal war of unprovoked aggression. Zelensky did nothing wrong in defending his homeland from a Nazi regime in Moscow. Thank you for watching my channel. Goodbye.